Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 13, would you look with me here, the last several verses of this chapter. You know, the book of Romans is such a wonderful book some have said that the book of Romans is the greatest epistle, the greatest letter that's ever been written, that is the greatest doctrinal statement, especially as it relates to our salvation. But the latter part of the book, the first parts of first chapters of Romans are basically doctrinal statements. The latter part of the book of Romans speaks to practical issues, practical things. Even in this chapter 13, it deals with things like how to respond to government and authorities, how to be in submission to authorities, even deals with paying your taxes and owing no man. It deals with love that is to be the great motivator for everything that we do. But then I'm reading here in the last verses of Romans 13, there is this call. It's a call to wake up. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he stops in the middle of this letter, this chapter of practical instruction, and then he says here, and that, or included in this, we need to wake up. Wake up. It is high time to awake out of sleep. In the natural, there are a lot of different sleep patterns. Some of you may be very early risers. Probably not that many of you are. But I know some people that, you know, they get up at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning every day. That's their pattern in their life. I can remember visiting Fred and Thelma Ambergy in the morning, like 10:30 in the morning. They were eating lunch. Breakfast had been at 4:30. And 10:30, they were eating lunch. The thing about early risers is about 6 o'clock in the evening, they zone out. They can't even hardly focus on you. They can't hardly carry on a conversation in the evening. They're so weary and so wore out from getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning that they're not worth a whole lot when it gets this time of the night. It's the truth now. You know what I'm talking about. And then there are late risers that, you know, 8:30 comes, 9 o'clock comes, 9:30 comes, they're barely dragging out and not hardly able to function. But what I think is really interesting about people who are late risers is when they have a really good reason to get up early, they have no trouble doing it. If they're going to go hunting or fishing or go shopping, how about Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving? They have these real special deals, and people that never get up to go shopping for that very special good deal that they think they're going to get. There are all kinds of different sleep patterns. There are those that are light sleepers, and some are very heavy sleepers. Some of my grandkids are heavy sleepers. I mean, no amount of noise or thunder or no matter what, you could blow up the room, I think. And they wouldn't even know it. They just go into such a deep, deep, deep sleep. Ryder and Emma were with Sister Hunley up at the camp in Ohio when the tornado came. They came running to the cabin and said, "You need to get to safety." And Sister Hunley's in the cabin with the two grandkids. And so she starts trying to wake them up. She can't get them to wake up. She does everything. Shaking them and doing everything. Come on, we've got to go. A tornado's coming. They didn't care. They were sleeping. Finally, one of the men, I believe it was Brian McKelvey, comes busting in the door and said, "We got to get to safety." She said, I can't carry them. They're too heavy. And I can't get them to wake up." And he grabbed them both up and put them over his shoulder and took off running. Must have been adrenaline or something. He's able to do that. Some people are heavy asleep. All these different things are describing natural sleep patterns that different ones of us might have. But I think that there's also a real problem that's associated with this age that we're living in right now. And people, even Christian people, even people that go to church, even people that have known the Lord and walk with the Lord, somehow this age has put them into a deep sleep. They're in a deep spiritual sleep, and nothing shakes them. Nothing stirs them. Nothing awakens them. It makes no difference how serious it gets. It doesn't matter if there's sickness or loss of life or losing loved ones or what kind of tragedies that might come their way. It seems like some people have gotten into such a spiritual deep sleep that they cannot be woken up. They just will not be. But there needs to be an awakening. Now, this part of Romans here, the commentator said that Paul is using, he's relating to the imagery of the Roman soldier and the Roman soldier who would spend his night out partying and living an evil life, the dark life. And then when the sun would start to come up, he would have to straighten himself up. He would have to get himself completely awake, and he would have to put on the armor and get ready for duty. Because if he didn't, it wasn't just a little slap on his hands. The Roman army was under strict, demanding rules and regulations. And if he didn't show up for his duty, he probably would lose his life. And so he had to get there. So whenever Paul said that it's high time to wake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. It's time for us to recognize the time, what time it is. Now, as Christians, we need to understand the times. We need to understand what's going on in our world. And I say a lot about this, but I don't believe there are coincidences that go on. I believe that there's all kinds of things that are happening in our world, changes that are happening in our nation and around the world, and every one of them we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to what's going on. I know that it's pretty exasperating, the political scene, but you need to pay attention. And you need to pay attention to the events of our times, the current events and things that are happening both here in our nation and all around the world. It's a significant thing when something like this terrible tragedy takes place in Paris, France. And we've been talking a lot about that. But we need to, from the church's perspective, we need to know what time it is. We need to know the seriousness of the time, because if we understand the seriousness of the time, we might wake up in time to do something that God has called us to do. I've told this before, but there was a pilot who got in his plane up somewhere, and I think it was South Dakota, North Dakota, somewhere up north, and he was en route to fly his private plane down to the coast, the Gulf. And so I don't know how long the flight was, 3 or 4 hours, maybe more, but somewhere along the way, he put his plane on automatic pilot. And unbelievably, he went to sleep. He was pointing right toward the city where he wanted to go. But while he was asleep, he overshot that city. He overshot the Gulf. And when he woke up, everywhere, every direction he looked, it was nothing but ocean. Of course, immediately, he's frantic, not knowing what to do. And so he radios in to find out his coordinates and where he's actually at. Thankfully, he hasn't gone that far. He looks at his fuel gauge, and his fuel gauge says empty. Miraculously, he's able to turn it around and get that plane back and land it before he runs out of fuel. So the question for us here tonight is,
How far away from where we need to be are we going to allow ourselves to get before we finally wake up? How far away from what God expects of us and what God wants us to be doing before we have an awakening, a spiritual awakening? This nation has had a number of awakenings, spiritual awakenings, revivals that changed the course of the nation, got the nation back on track. We're far removed from that now. And this nation has never needed an awakening any more than it needs right now. There have been wonderful, mighty awakenings under great people who prayed and sought the Lord and were used of the Lord, and God used them to stir up an awakening. And even just a few that God used to stir the nation to revival and to an awakening. So we need to know the time. We need to understand how serious the times are and make sure that we get back on course and be where the Lord wants us to be. Amen. There's some things that we know. Now, if you're living your life by the clock of the world, then you're going to be careless. You're not going to pay attention to the seriousness of the time. You're just going to live your days. It's just going to be all happy-go-lucky. And if you're measuring by the world's clock, but you need to get in tune with and set your life according to God's time and God's timetable and what's going on in our world right now and what it all means, how it all relates to the times that we're living in. There's some things we can know for sure. The world doesn't believe it. They don't understand it, but we know for sure that God is running right on schedule. And he's not too early, he's not too late, he's right on time. And the things that are transpiring in our world right now, it's not that things have gotten out of control, because we serve a mighty God. And it's not out of control. By the world standards, things are really bad, but we need to get our life in tune with God, and we need to awaken. Spiritually, we need to awaken to the times. 1 Chronicles, rather, 12 and 32, describes those children of Issachar. It said of them, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And I've gone through these different tribes before and studied out. Many of them had great fighting armies and a lot of tremendous strength and qualities about them. Issachar was a smaller group of, as far as that tribe is concerned. It was a smaller group, but the characteristic that they had was they knew the times they were in. They knew what time it was. They knew the circumstance. They understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. Oh, how we need people of God who are in tune with God, who are people of prayer, people of the Word of God, who understand spiritual needs and spiritual circumstances, and they know what time it is, and they know this is what we need to do. This is the things that we need to do to face the challenge of this time. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. He said, you can look at the sky. And they were great weather forecasters. They said, you can look at the sky and see it's red, and you can discern the face of the sky to determine the weather pattern and what's going on, but you don't know the times. You can't discern the times. These Pharisees, Sadducees, they were supposed to be the religious leaders who could provide spiritual wisdom and counsel. They could look at the sky and discern the weather patterns, but they didn't know the times. They didn't know the times, and Jesus rebuked them. Well, the Apostle Paul here is saying, number one, it's time to wake up. It is time to wake up. So whether you're an early riser, late riser, no matter what it is, that doesn't apply to this spiritual lesson here tonight, because you need to wake up spiritually. There needs to be an awakening in your heart, in your mind, an understanding of the seriousness of the time. Know the time. It is now a high time to awake out of sleep. It's speaking about the fact that it's The time is urgent. It is high time. It is an urgent time. There isn't much time left. And so there needs to be an awakening. People are so careless about their spiritual life, about their walk with God. Here we are on the brink of the coming of the Lord. We're living in the most serious, momentous time that the church has ever faced, and people are spiritually slumbering, going to sleep, and there needs to be an awakening. Hey, folks, there needs to be an awakening right here at First Pentecostal Church. Every one of us, we need the Spirit of God to move. We need to hear the voice of God, and we can wake up to the times that we're in. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine unto them. People that are asleep, they can't see. When they're asleep, they are unaware of what's going on around them. When you're in a spiritual slumber, then you just go along happy, go lucky, as if, oh, this is just another wonderful day, not realizing how serious the times are. Lord, awaken your people, awaken the church to know the times that we are living in right now. It is time to waken up. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 and 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. To quicken means to bring to life. But this is a message to believers. And so he's saying really that what you have done is you're taking on the old pattern, the old life. Verse 2, it says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, now you've fallen back to that. Now you're living by the course of the world, the ways of the world, instead of being spiritually alive. Amen. When a person gets saved, when they get born again, then they see things differently. When a person gets filled with the Spirit, they see things differently. When a person is walking in the Spirit and living by the power of the Spirit of God, they see things differently. And because they become alert and awake and aware of the circumstances that are around us. It's sad to say there's like a spiritual death that can settle in on a person. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to any one of us. We can find ourselves just going to sleep. You know, the most miserable thing you can do is try to drive when you're extremely sleepy. I think it's the most miserable thing I've ever had to do. And a few times I have tried to drive late at night or maybe early in the morning, drive, and I can't hold my eyes open. And you'll find yourself swerving off the road, waking up. And let me tell you, you're a dangerous person when you're in that shape. You're a danger to yourself and to everybody else out there on the highway when you're in that in-between place. You're not completely asleep, but you're going to sleep. You're needing sleep. You're just about to fall into that state. You're a very dangerous person when you're in that condition. If you find yourself in that condition, you need to stop. You need to get off the road. You need to rest up and then wake up before you get back out there on the road. There needs to be, I believe, a spiritual awakening today, right now. And I know that we can talk about others and other churches and other people and talk about their needs and their failures and their shortcomings. But really, we just need to take a very close look at ourselves individually. We need to take a good look at ourselves as a people, as a church, and ask the Lord, Lord, we're grateful that you bless us and you move among us from time to time. And we're grateful for that. Last Sunday, wonderful blessing and a wonderful moving of the Spirit in the service last Sunday night. But I have to say that for one service where we have that kind of a move, we'll have 6 or 8 or 10 where you're just looking at me sitting there and it's quiet and folks are distracted and, you know, on their phones and indifferent to the things of God. And it's pretty troubling. We could find ourselves in such a state that we're spiritually sleeping. what he says here in Ephesians is that really we're just caught up in the same spirit that you once lived by, that same spirit and attitude in your trespasses, in your sins, in conformity to the world. There's no difference between, you get to the place, there's no difference between what you are right now and what you used to be before you were even saved. You begin to take on the old ways and the old patterns and the old thinking. It all becomes a part of your life because you're going to sleep spiritually. You have to stay awake. Or you have to, if you need something to wake you up. Something to wake you up. And I pray that in America, it isn't more tragedy. I know that when 9/11 took place, they talked about in the cities. I remember David Wilkerson talking about that their church, they couldn't hold all the people. Weeks after week after week, great massive crowds of people that were crowding into their church. But then it started to wane. 6 months after the tragedy, things had all got back to normal. Not that many people had made changes. Maybe some had come to the Lord. But things pretty much had just got back to normal. And, we went from singing, God, the Congress on the steps of the Capitol of the U.S., all gathering out on the steps, singing, God bless America, to where we are right now. Where we are right now, when everything is politically correct and everybody is being sued if they pray at a ball game or if they do anything to stand up for the name of the Lord, they're coming under some lawsuit. That's the spiritual darkness that's sweeping over our land right now. And do you think the world is going to be the agent that changes things or wakes things up? Not at all. They're asleep and don't even know the spiritual condition that they're in. It has to be among us, you and me, in the church. It has to be every preacher. It has to be every mom and dad and every worker for God. And every one of us, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, I need an awakening. I need a stirring. I need you to wake me up to see, Lord, the urgency of the times that we're living in right now. We need to know the times. The Greek word is the word, there's two Greek words for time. And one of them relates literally to time, like minutes, seconds, dates, things of that sort. The other Greek word is the one that's used here, and it's describing a season of time, a season. We need to be alert and aware of what season we have moved into, where we are right now. And I've heard this preached all of my life, but now as a preacher of the gospel, I believe I'm witnessing it and I'm seeing it with my own eyes. A spiritual slumber that has swept over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's incredible. That's the reason why there's the acceptance of sin, the excusing of sin. That's the reason why that churches and denominations are making foolish mistakes to accept sin, because a spiritual darkness and a slumber has crept in to churches and denominational groups across this nation. It's a serious time. But I want to encourage you, because there have been awakenings in our nation that have taken place when just a few people started praying. When just a little small nucleus of people began to seek the Lord, God has stirred hearts and has ignited the fires of revival that eventually became an awakening in the nation. It's happened a number of times in our country. History is pretty much, it's not there. You'll hear about it next Sunday. Great awakenings, great men of God that God has used historically in the United States of America to light the fire and to awaken of the church and get us back to God and back to the Word of God. We need that right now. We need it right now. And I'm grateful for people on a national level that are speaking up. There are some national preachers and ministers that are speaking very strong, and I appreciate different ones of them that are doing that. But really, where the revival takes place, it takes place right here on the local level. When you and me, every one of us, we get stirred about where we are. We get concerned about the fact that our families and our households, that we're faced with things today that are overwhelming. If you're a mom or a dad, you ought to be really concerned about the times that you're raising your children in, because they're going to grow up, and unless there's a move of God, they're not going to know anything about the move of God. They're not going to know anything about the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It won't be familiar to them at all. They won't understand it. It'll be a faint memory of the past that we talk about, unless we see an awakening. And we're going to come into a time when a whole generation is going to be lost, and they're not going to know anything about the move of God and about revival and the necessary outpouring of the Spirit of God. And oh, we can't settle for anything less than this. We must relate the Word of God and the current events and see that the only answer to the times that we have is found in God's Word. See all these things that are happening and associated through the eyes of people who are spiritually in tune, spiritually alert, spiritually awake in our world today, and to rise up. And I know that sometimes there's the temptation to want to rise up and be an activist, and there is a time for that. By the way, we're facing another liquor vote here in our community. In the next few weeks, when I heard it, they called me and talked to me about it. And, of course, I want to do what I can do. But I just had this weariness settling over me. This again. There is no time, though, to give up the fight. There's no time to give up the fight. We have to keep on continuing. But the real answer is a move of God. The real problem, none of these things would ever go through in our city or our county if the churches of London and Laurel County were filled with the Spirit. If there was a fire of God burning in the hearts of all of the professing Christians in this county, then we'd never have a question like this come up. But it's because those who profess to know God and to serve God and are going to church they're in a spiritual sleep, and they can't see the implication. They can't see the seriousness of even the smallest decision that's going to lead us further in a direction of spiritual darkness. The real answer is the church rising up to pray. And I've given a lot of thought to that. And if I'm going to be going to a meeting with them soon. And I really felt inspired in my heart to talk to them and say, there's a lot of things we can do. We can buy ads in the paper. We can knock on doors. But we need to collectively, as a people in this community, we need to get a hold of God. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to ask God to turn things around. Because if this is just one little issue, but darkness is creeping in little by little by little by little. And if it continues like this, should Jesus tarry, in a few more years, we won't even recognize our community. It won't be the same. It'll be changed because darkness will be so prevalent and so powerful among us. But there has to be a light, and there has to be salt, and there have to be a people who are on fire for God, and they are awake, spiritually alert to what's going on around us. Amen. So he says that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to wake up, number one. Number two, we need to get up. I don't know about you. If I wake up and I don't get up, guess what happens? I'll go back to sleep. And you will too. So what I have to do is when the alarm goes off, I have to crawl out and sit on the side of the bed and say, let's go. Let's go. And crawl and climb out of that bed and start the day. Because if I stay in the bed, I'm going to go back to sleep. And so we need to wake up, first of all, but then we need to get up. We need to get up. We need to begin to take some steps of action. To stir yourself, to shake yourself, to get up, to begin to walk with God, to begin to talk with God, to begin to obey the voice of the Lord. Wake up, get up. Amen. And then third, we need to go to work. go to work. These are the last days. There are a lot of people that are lost by the hundreds and thousands, even in our community. I know we're a very religious county, but there's countless dozens, hundreds, thousands of people in this community that don't know Jesus Christ. They're not serving the Lord. They need God so desperately. So what we need to do is recognize the shortness of the time, the seriousness of the time. We need to wake up, we need to get up, and then we need to, number three, go to work doing what God has called us to do. Jonathan Edwards, who was a great reformer before he was age 20, says this: resolve to never lose a moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Before he was 20 years old, he made that resolve. I resolve never to lose a moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way that I can. He determined not only to work, but to make a difference in his work. Amen. You know, we need to redeem the time. We need to use the time for the glory of God. We need to take advantage of every means that we can. By all means, proclaiming the gospel. By all means, reaching out to people and touching the lives of people. Amen. Amen. They're out there. You know, we had a few weeks ago our friend day, and every year it's kind of an exercise in inviting people to church. And every year we do it, it works, and we have a lot of visitors that come, and it's a good thing. But really, reality is this: if we're really awake, if we're really the church of Jesus Christ, that would be the norm. That's what we'd be doing every week. We'd be looking to our friends and our family and our neighbors, and we'd be searching out people, and we'd be looking for ways to work and reach them for Jesus Christ, because time is short. Time is short. As I said, I've heard it all my life. Pastors that I sat under, they preached about the coming of the Lord. They preached about the rapture of the church. And here where he says, your salvation is nearer than when you believed. It's closer than you can imagine. You see, our salvation, when you got saved, you were justified. You were saved. You were made righteous. Amen. But then, as you live your life, you are being saved. You are being sanctified daily. You are being saved. And one of these days, you will be completely saved when you are glorified, because there's going to be not only the saving of your soul, but the redemption of your body. Amen. And that's what we're waiting on. Amen. That's the next thing. That's the next thing, that the Lord is coming. Jesus is coming. And is he going to find us busy? Is he going to find us working, using our time wisely, reaching as many people as we possibly can? Oh, I hope that for us as a local church, that he's going to find us not spiritually drowsy or spiritually completely asleep, but we're awake, we're alert, we're busy, we're doing what God has called us to do, to reach our world for Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited about Africa because, Lord willing, around the 11th or 12th of January, myself and seven other people will be traveling over there to establish EBN, 104.1 FM in Freetown. The equipment, a lot of it shipped out this week. And I'm excited about it. I look forward to it. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. But I have to tell you this. That's not really where my burden is. I mean, I'm concerned about it, and I'm involved in it, and I believe in it. But this right here, this is where my burden is. This is what I'm concerned about. I want to see us as a people moving forward, spiritually alert, spiritually awake, revived, and seeing people come and come to the Lord and be saved right here in this altar. Amen. It's been too long since we have had folks falling in this altar, repenting and turning their life over to Jesus Christ. That needs to be our primary burden. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for an awakening. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Now, I know that I can't wake up people who are spiritually asleep, but I know that God knows how He knows what will wake you up. He knows how to help you, to stir you, to awaken you. And that's our prayer here tonight. That the Lord would move among us in such a mighty way that we would be awakened spiritually. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, because we have become spiritually sleepy, indifferent, unaware of the times that we're living in. Lord, your coming is so soon. How is it possible that in a time that is so urgent and so serious that we could be falling asleep spiritually? Lord, wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Wake up every one of us, every mom and dad, every young person. Lord, to wake up and see the urgency, the seriousness of the day that we're in right now. Do a work among us tonight, Lord. Speak to us by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen.